ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, entitled The Island of Jambudvip, texts 29 and 30. Okay, so we'll just read the verse because it's in the prose. Okay, one second. Jambu dvipasya charajan upadvipan ashtau haikam upadi shanti sagatma jair ashvan vishana imam mahim parito nikhandbir ukalpitan tanyata svarna pra stash chandra shuklam avartanom ramanako mandarai na pancha yagya simhalo lanketim okay shri shuka uvacha word by word translation shri shuka dev goswami continued to speak jambudvipasya of the island known as Jambudvip. Cha, also, Rajan, O King, Upadvipan, Ashtau, eight subordinate islands. Ha, certainly. Eke, some. Upadishanti, learned scholars describe. Sagara Atmajai, by the sons of Maharaj Sagara. Ashva Anveshane, while trying to find their lost horse. Imam, this. Mahim, tract of land. Parita, all around. Nikandbi, digging. Upakalpitan, created. That. Yata, as follows. Svarnaprastha. Chandra Shukla, Avartanam, Ramanaka, Mandaraharinam, Panchajanyam, Simhala. Lanka, iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadev Goswami said, My dear King, in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvip. When the sons of Maharaj Sagar were searching all over the world for their lost horse, they dug up the earth, and in this way, eight adjoining islands came into the existence. The names of these islands are Svarnaprastha, Chandra Shukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandaraharina, Panchajanya, Simhala, and Lanka. Purport. In the Kurma Purana, it is there is this statement about the desires of the demigods. Anda dikarino deva svargasta barato bhavam vanchanti atma vimokshartha mude karte dikarinaham. All the demigods are situated in exalted position in the heavenly planets. They nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bharatvarsha on the planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bharatvarsha. Therefore, if persons already born in Bharatvarsha live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. So we'll read text 31 also, because that's the last verse of this chapter, without purport. My dear King Parikshit, the best of the descendants of Bharat Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bharatvarsha and its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvip. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Island of Jambudvip. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashta Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharina Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshitarina Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, My dear King, in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvipa. When the sons of Marat Sagar were searching all over the world for their lost horse, they dug up the earth, and in this way eight adjoining islands came into existence. The names of these islands are Svarnaprastha, Chandrashukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandraharina, Panchajanya, Simhala, and Lanka. Hare Krishna. So, in this particular verse and the purport itself, we have two points. One that Srila Prabhupada keeps on stressing throughout the last part of this particular chapter, and that is that great fortune of being or appearing in the land of the Bharatvarsha, which is very important and very beneficial place to reside. And the second point is just the direct description, geographical description of the Jambudvip itself. So Jambudvip, it's interesting that it's a huge island. Of course, compared to the other seven that are there on the Bhumandala plain, is the smallest. But in terms of our conception, in terms of our understanding, it's an enormous island which extends to 1 lakh yojanas in length and also width. So it is of the circular nature, described as the lotus leaf. So it is circular. So that means 100 yojanas, both width and breadth, in dimension. So it is huge. And it is therefore divided into 9 different sections, of which Bharatvarsha is one of them on the southern side. And the dimension of the Bharatvarsha is given as 80,000 yojanas in length and 9,000 yojanas in width. So it's enormous, it's huge. So the whole idea that I'm trying to discuss a little bit today is that how can we understand this description of, in particular, Bharatvarsha situated on Jambudvip in relationship to the conception that we have about Bharatvarsha being our planet. Or even less, sometimes some scholars consider it just to be the land of what is nowadays known as India. But first of all, we can't equate exactly the concept of the Bharatvarsha just to India itself, because that concept was referring to the whole planet, not just to India. Of course, due to degradation and various other reasons, the whole Vedic culture has been contained only nowadays at the present India. But earlier it has been spread out throughout the whole world, because we know all the rulers have been ruling the whole planet, not just this particular tract of land known as India. So it's not that just Bharatvarsha points out to this particular tract of land, but it refers to the whole planet. So now if we compare the dimensions, we see that there's a lot of confusion, definitely. Anybody who's going to study a little bit this geography of the universe presented in the fifth canto, it's undoubtedly going to be very confused, trying to understand what's going on here now. How come these dimensions are not matching, and how come they're so enormous also? It is very confusing, definitely. Also, whoever tries to do the research, it becomes very much puzzled. So some simplistic explanations are kind of quickly welcomed, but it is not a fact that we should overwhelmingly accept them. And usually conceptions are, yes, there is a Himalaya mountain on the north, and beyond that, whatever else, even not just beyond, but on all the sides of it, whatever the whole world we have experience of, it is part of Jambudvip. But it is not. The rest of our planet, it's not to be confused with the whole Jambudvip island. How is it possible to place our small, tiny planet and just relate it to the Jambudvip island itself? As I said, Jambudvip island, it's 1 lakh yojanas, both in width and breadth. 1 lakh yojanas. If you, 1 yojana, by the general acceptance and measurement, is about 8 miles. So if you multiply 1 lakh, it comes 800,000 miles. It's huge. It's an amazing size. So it's impossible to place our planet and confuse it with the Jambudvip island. It doesn't make sense at all. And then a second confusion that may arise is also, and of course the Jambudvip itself is circular in nature, and it's the whole continent surrounded by the salty ocean, and just by the shape itself it doesn't match to our planet itself. So then second confusion that may arise there is the idea that the Bharatvarsha, which is placed on the south of the Jambudvip, is also our planet. Or even worse, third confusion may be there, that Bharatvarsha refers only to India. So how do we understand? We know that, as here in the last verse, also Shukadev Goswami presents this particular teaching. He said, as I have heard from the sages, I'm describing to you, is describing to Maharaj Parikshit, is describing this particular description according to what he had heard from the authorities. But also we know that in the Puranas it is mentioned, like when different sages describe particular things, they also describe it from their own point of view. And they all see it differently. So how do we account such kind of different descriptions? And it is said, one example has been given about top of the Meru mountain, which is also huge. It's like 1 lakh yojana in height, same as the Jambudvip basically. 84,000 yojanas are below, 16 are above, 16 are below. So it's huge. So the sages trying to comprehend and trying to describe the top of Mount Meru, they give different shapes. Each and every one differs from the other. And it is described that only Brahma can see everything in its completeness and can describe everything in completeness. And we know Brahma is the being, is of course our Acharya, he's such an exalted personality. His whole body consists of intelligence, it's just intelligence. And he has 4 heads pointing 4 directions, being practically aware of everything what's going on. And as a creator of this universe, he should know definitely what's going on in this universe. But even at that point, it is described in Bhagavatam, even Brahma himself doesn't know exactly how the whole universe has been created, although he himself is the secondary creator of it. So it is so mystifying. So therefore, who are we to understand exactly all these particular descriptions given in the Shastras when we deal only with the three-dimensional reality? So how can we comprehend something that is far, far beyond our sense perception? It is very difficult. So these three main confusions are there regarding Jambudvip, Bharatvarsha, you know, being our planet, then placing the whole Jambudvip on our planet, placing the whole Bharatvarsha, considering it as our planet, and considering Bharatvarsha to be just India itself. So how to reconcile this? Because the dimensions given of the our planet are again very much different, or that particular Bharatvarsha are different than the Bharatvarsha that are given then there on the Jambudvip itself. The Bharatvarsha described on the southern portion of the Jambudvip is as long as Himalaya mountain, which stretches from east to from west to east, which is 80,000 yojanas. So again, multiplying this with 8 miles, it's a huge, enormous number that we are getting. And then 9,000 yojanas in width. So it's a huge number. And the description itself, describing the southern portion of the Jambudvip, it is said that it's like bow-shaped and the Himalaya mountain on the northern part of it. So how can our planet correspond to this particular description of Bharatvarsha? So therefore another description is found in Puranas describing that Maharaj Bharat, he was ruling the Bharatvarsha definitely, but he divided the Bharatvarsha described on the as the Bharatvarsha on the southern part of Jambudvip, he divided it into nine parts. Because he had 8 sons, he had 1 daughter. So these 8 parts were named after his sons. Tamravan, then Nagadvip, Vamana, Gandharva, Indratarna, and one more, Saumya, something like this. And then the last one is described, when the sages describe the Bharatvarsha, when you find description of the Bharatvarsha in the Puranas, then you will say, and this one is called Kumarika, after the daughter of the Bharat Maharaj. And this description is given in few places. So this one, present one, that refers to our planet. So this is just the 9th division, or 9th part of the Bharatvarsha that we find on the that southern portion of the Jambudvipa island. So this 9th one. And then it is described that all these 9 particular continents are mutually separated by the water, by the ocean. They're not connected. They're mutually separated. And there is no connection of them. And then later on there is description given in the Skanda Purana, wherein Lord Shiva describes to Parvati geography of the Jambudvip, and it says that these 8 islands have been submerged by the ocean. And then only this one, Kumarika, basically this only one that is our planet, is remaining still as it was. So that means when we have a picture of the Jambudvip as the whole circular island, we understand that actually that southern portion, practically everything is inundated by the ocean itself, and only that one Kumarika island still remains, and this is our planet itself. So all the others are just covered with the water and don't exist anymore. So therefore what we have, as Somacharyas have pointed out, that we have our planet situated on the Bharat, that particular Bharatvarsha on the Jambudvip island. So this is the geographical understanding that we get from this particular description. And this Bharatvarsha have been described as having 1,000 yojanas again, 1,000 yojanas by 9,000 yojanas, which is again a little bit enormous size still compared to our present day understanding of the diameters of the earth. It's still larger. So maybe it refers to circumference that has to be a little more researched. Might be referring to circumference. Because again, our planet is understood to be the globe as well. It's not a plain tract of land. It is globe as well. So this also, for that there are many references in the Purana, especially Siddhanta, Surya Siddhantas, or astronomical texts dealing with calculations and positions in relation to other astronomical bodies. They're describing our planet as a globe. And in general, Bhumandala is accepted as the flat plane. So therefore, our planet rests within, in the middle of the ocean, practically, in the middle in terms of that Bharat Varsha tract of land. So it stands there, and this is actually the position where it is placed on the southern side. So it might be a lot of different confusing information that we are finding in the Purana. So it's not easy to understand really geography of the universal geography, because there are so many different kinds of information that for our tiny brain it's very difficult to comprehend. But definitely one thing is there, that when we speak about the geography, it is, of course, as a subject, as an art, it is very important for various reasons. That's a very interesting point that Devakinandan Prabhu brought out just 2 days back when he was giving one class for the students. He said that nowadays people don't even know where is west. To find out any direction, you know, you have to have a mobile, you have to look at your watch or something. They're completely ignorant about arts. They're just into different kinds of sciences. So geography has a very important place to play in everybody's life, of course, especially in terms of preaching and understanding our position within this universe and various other reasons. So that's why this particular description have been given in the Jambudvipa and other places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we understand our position here in this material universe. And another interesting mantra points out to that. When we anybody performs any particular yagya, there is one mantra called Sankalpa Mantra. And anybody performing any yagya or any kind of ceremonial activities has to chant that particular, the priest will chant that particular mantra, and it's basically, I don't know how to, from the beginning, but it said Meruhu Jambudvipe Bharatvarshe Bharatkande Varahakalpe Vaivasvatamanatare and Shukla whatever Paksha Krishna Paksha whatever. But the idea is to point out the time of performance of that particular yagya and the place. So it is important according to the particular ceremony, because we know whether it's going to be auspicious or it's going to be inauspicious, going to be fruitful or not, it plays on time and the place. So it is very essential to understand where we live according to time and place, and what kind of activities we perform according to that time and place. So in that mantra itself, it has been given that Jambudvipe, Meroho Jambudvipe, Bharatvarsha, Bharatkande. So within Bharatvarsha, again, there is Bharatkanda. Bharatkanda refers, also many acharyas point out that Bharatkanda refers to our planet, not just to the India itself or to that big tract of the southern portion of Jambudvipa. So there's a lot of technical descriptions given in the Shastra, so still we have to, there has to be a lot of research still done, really, to understand how it directly corresponds to our understanding of our planet in relationship to Jambudvipa itself. But according to what now we understand and the information we have, we can differentiate our planet from the Bharatvarsha being described on Jambudvipa. And it is said also Madhvacharya, when he went to Badari Kashram to meet Vyasadev, and when he received different instructions from Vyasadev, he had to cross our Himalayas and reach the bigger Himalaya. So that means there are two. Or in a sense, there is perception of our Himalaya that we are having and the other greater Himalaya. So he crossed from our to the greater one. Of course, how they're related, they're definitely connected and related, but how, that's, for us, it's very difficult to conceive. As I said, we are on this particular conditioned plane that we are, it's practically impossible to try to understand this. It's very difficult. But at least from our transdimensional condition view, we can understand that there is relationship, and at least that our planet, Bharatkanda, not Bharatvarsha, Bharatkanda is placed on the Bharatvarsha larger plane of the Jambudvipa. And that, again, when we see the different descriptions that are given in the Shastras, that they're not matching, might seem contradictory. But it's not contradictory, because lands are changing. Like it said, sometimes those islands that have been existing, that Maharaj Bharat gave to his sons, were now covered by the water. And here we see, we'll come back to these sons of Sagara in searching of the horse, sacrificial horse. They dig up the earth, they created the islands. So geography is changing. It's not something that it's permanent. It's changing. It's all the time changing. If you read descriptions of Sugriva, when he was describing to Lord Ram He was giving the whole, he gave the whole description of the whole planet. Because he was chased by the valley, and therefore he ran helter-skelter through all the directions. So he was very familiar with all the parts of the planet. So while Lord Ram was going in search of Sita, then Sugriva was describing different parts. But if you compare those descriptions with nowadays what we understand geographically exists on our planet, it's not the same. It doesn't match exactly. Some things do, but not everything. And of course, we know that Ramayana, according to Jiva Goswami, took place millions and millions of years ago in 24th Yuga cycle. That means 24th Treta Yuga. Now it's 28. That's been a long, long time ago. So, continents, places are changing. Even Mahabharata, when it's described that Bhima was traveling, actually what is nowadays Bay of Bengal, that time it was just the tract of land. There was no Bay of Bengal. And various other descriptions are there, which point out that geography is changing. I mean, even scientifically, if you want to point out, we can say, yes, scientists say, continents are drifting five centimeters, every year they're drifting from each other, and there's that continental drift, and different kinds of things that point out to that change. And it also, where sometimes, an interesting thing is that we can definitely understand there are some places on this planet that definitely have been underwater, but now are submerged. There is one city just discovered recently, a few years back, on the coastal areas of Cuba, which is submerged by the ocean. But scientists, they found out that there have been a huge, large city existing, but it's submerged by the ocean. Similar thing, you'll find this phenomenon all over the world, just at the coast of Mahabalipuram, south of Chennai. There are so many temples, there have been so many old, ancient buildings and structures found underneath the ocean. We know Dwarka, of course. There's also in Japan, that means throughout the whole world, in Japan, Yokoguni Islands, the southernmost tips of the Japan, they found the pyramidal structures. Man-made, definitely proved they're man-made, submerged by the ocean. So definitely geography is changing. So there is nothing wrong if we present these particular teachings of Bhagavatam and then somebody might find, contradictions saying descriptions differ. Yes, they differ because we are talking not just about thousands of years, we are even talking about millions of years. We are talking about different kalpas. So there are different descriptions. And even we know which Purana refers to which particular kalpa. So therefore we have to match which Purana is spoken for which particular kalpa. And that's why Purana is considered different than the Vedic literature. Vedas are unchangeable. They're always the same. Mantras, yagyas, procedures, rituals, everything is same. But Puranas are a little bit different. Stories are a little bit different according to historical, particular pastimes that are taking place. Puranas are therefore not considered as authentic as the Vedas. That's the only reason. Just because sometimes historically some pastimes differ a little bit. Even Ramayana, which we mentioned, again, there are a little bit of details that vary from maybe some Ramayans that took place in different days of Brahma. There are a little bit different details. So things are changing, and that shouldn't be so contradictory for us to understand. So here, these different islands. One thing that I found here, it's interesting that what is mentioned here that the sons of Sagara created a Lanka by digging up the earth. So therefore we have a big jump. Again, when we speak about our planet, where do we place all these islands? We can't place them. They're around the Jambudvip. So you can't place them. It doesn't match to our planet. It doesn't match to India either. So they're different anyway. I don't want to be so technical now. But there are different considerations that have to be taken in place. And definitely, therefore, we can't say that our planet is just the whole Bharatvarsha itself. Or what to speak of Jambudvip. So these islands that have been created by the sons of Sagara, one of them mentioned is Lanka. But there is another interesting story. Okay, we may point out now there is a contradiction. Lanka created by the digging of the kings of Sagara. And there is another story of how Lanka originated was by the being knocked off by the Vayu from the Mount Meru itself. As one... So, argumentation going on between Vasuki and Vayu, who is greater? That is a Puranic story. So again, as I said, might refer to different kalpa. But it is about the origin of Lanka, which is mentioned here. And again, there may be whole discussion now whether this present Lanka is the Lanka where Ravana had been living or not. It's a big discussion. Maybe. We may take it sentimentally or for whichever reason, or, you know, even philosophically to some degree. Yes, it is. But again, if you really look, you know, like, who knows how far did Hanuman jump? Just to make it a little interactive. Who knows how far did Hanuman jump? How many yojanas? 800. Huh? 100 yojanas. Okay, 100 yojanas. So 100 yojanas, and say one yojana is like 8 miles, that's generally accepted as being the length for the yojana. So 800 miles, so would that correspond to our present day Lanka? To be far away from it? It's too close. So there are different. So therefore we understand actually the real Lanka is in the Lavanoda ocean. Lavanoda is the first salty ocean surrounding the whole Jambudvip. And according to this description here, that's how we should understand it. So anyway, coming back to the story, the Vayu and Vasuki were competing, and then Vasuki challenged Vayu, okay, you blow off anything from the Mount Meru with your powerful, you know, winds, if you can. And Vasuki coiled the whole Mount Meru. And Vayu was blowing and blowing in such a powerful winds he had created, but he was unable to blow any part of Mount Meru. And that blowing created a huge storms and dust, and that the whole demigods, everybody was complaining to Lord Brahma that we are unable to breathe, we are unable to see anything. Please do something about it. So then Brahma came down, just to shorten the story, came down to pacify both Vasuki and Vayu, and they all agreed. And then Vasuki uncoiled one of his coils from the top of the Meru, and then Vayu used this opportunity to blow off one of the parts from the top of Mount Meru, and that small part that fell into the Lavanada Ocean was the Trikuta Mountain, called Trikuta Mountain, on which Lanka had been built by Maya Danava. So this is how, from that particular story, Lanka had originated. So it's a little bit different than what we hear here. It's a little bit different story. And then that Lanka had been inhabited first by the Rakshasas. Once Brahma got hungry, and then being untimely kind of time, maybe evening or night, not really time to eat, so Brahma was kind of feeling very annoyed also, and feeling very strange that how come I've become hungry in this untimely hour. So from that anger, one Rakshasa has been created. Heti. It's called Heti. And then that hunger, from that hunger, one Yaksha has been created. So this is one description of origin of the Yakshas and Rakshasas. So Yaksha was called Praheti. So Yakshas were in general more of the noble, positive nature, whereas Rakshasas, being created from the anger of Brahma, were always malicious and always creating havoc in the universe. So that Rakshasa had a 3 different sons. And they were always tormenting and demigods and all other creatures in the universe by various means and ways. And they wanted to observe the whole universe practically from themselves, and they were performing various kinds of penances. So Lanka has been given as the place of their residence. So they were residing there at Lanka. But then because they created so much trouble to everyone, then demigods prayed to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu was coming and sending his chakra and regularly killing many, many of the Rakshasas who were creating disturbances. So finally then Rakshasas, those who had remained, had to flood down to the lower planetary systems, to the Patala Loka. So then that Lanka has been given then to Yakshas, who were more of the godly nature, and therefore Kuvera had inherited, so to say, he has been given this Lanka as the place of residence. So because Kuvera was therefore then staying there, later on Rakshasas who appear, and especially Ravana, they vowed that they will take Lanka back. And that was the first thing Ravana, when he received the boons from Brahma, he went to fight with Kuvera first, and he drove him away from the Lanka. He occupied the Lanka first. There's a small history of Lanka. So it's a little bit different, as I said, in terms of the origin from what we have been given here in these particular verses. And then another interesting island that is mentioned here that surrounds the whole Jambudvip is Ramanaka Island. Ramanaka Island, we know, of course, nowadays it's identified as the Fiji Islands, down south, New Zealand, Australia, where the devotees have a temple of Kaliya, and it said that that's the place where Kaliya took the refuge. But again, how do we understand this? It's a little bit technical question. But anyway, that Ramanaka Island was the place where Kaliya had been residing with many other snakes, and Garuda was coming constantly and tormenting them by eating some of them. So one day when Garuda was more in a peaceful mood, the whole snakes gathered and they offered to Garuda a peaceful proposal, saying that we will supply you with so many different kinds of amounts of the foodstuffs, but please don't eat any of our members. So in that exchange, please let us live a peaceful lives. So then Garuda agreed to that. And he was regularly taking those kind of offerings. Usually people also would come to this Ramanaka Island in previous ages. They had the access. And they would present different offerings to the snake as well to propitiate them, to pacify them. So also from those offerings, Garuda was also taking part, taking his share. So that's another interesting thing I just came up with, that the whole Jambudvip is described, something that differs from our planet, Bharat Khanda, is that in our planet we have the whole four cycles, Yuga cycles, Satya, Treta, Dvapara and Kali Yuga. This is not there in any other part of the universe, or it's very short-termed. Like on the Jambudvip itself, it's always practically Treta Yuga, according to the descriptions. People live more than 10,000 years, and usually Siddhas and Charanas, and according to various other descriptions. So only our planet undergoes different kinds of cycles like this. So anyway, in previous those cyclic ages, people had the access to this Ramanaka Island according to this particular description and position where it is given. And they were offering this offering. So Garuda would partake of this particular offering and leave the snakes alone, peaceful. But when it came turn to Kaliya, Kaliya became very arrogant and angry, and decided, I'm going to challenge Garuda. And he himself started eating of these offerings, which definitely made the Garuda very, very angry. There's something that reminds me of that story of Bakasura and Bhima, if you know this. But of course, Bhima was the more positive character, not like here, Kaliya. So Kaliya was then therefore taking all these offerings. Garuda became very angry, and then they started fighting, and the whole fight is described in Garga Samhita, how they were, you know, beating each other, and Kaliya coiling around Garuda's feet, trying to avoid his beak, but Garuda was using his talons and the wings and smashing Kaliya here and there, and then Kaliya would just spread out and vomit out the poison and everything. So finally Kaliya was defeated, and he was running throughout the whole universe. He couldn't find shelter anywhere, like Durvasa after offending Ambarish Maharaj. He was running everywhere. He couldn't find shelter in any particular place. And finally, he came across Anantashesha. Anantashesha is his elder brother. They're all sons of Kadru. So he came across Anantashesha and asking for the refuge, asking, please give me some place where I can take shelter. Give me some place. So Anantashesha said, basically, you've offended the devotee. There is no such a place. But there is one place where Garuda have been cursed. And that's the place where Saubari Rishi was performing his meditation. That was on the bank of the Yamuna. So Garuda once, he was coming. Actually, he was coming many times. And we know the story. He was eating the fish. And Saubari Muni, sometimes he would levitate, meditating like this above the Yamuna, being submerged in the water itself. In different ways, he was performing his tapasya. So he was very compassionate. And he was very pitified by seeing how Garuda is coming and eating fish. So he cursed Garuda, that because you're disturbing, you're eating this fish, and therefore, if you come again here, you will die. So that's the place where Garuda was not coming. That's the place where Kaliya took his refuge. But this interesting, there is that interesting point. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this story that Saubari Rishi actually committed three offenses towards the Garuda. First of all, he interfered in something that is of not really of his business, so to say, because he was inferior in stature, he was inferior in any kind of position, especially in terms of position. Garuda was far more superior to him and senior to him and exalted than him. So he tried to instruct him. Now he can give a big lecture and lesson how actually somebody who is junior is not supposed to point out anything to his senior. It's just the normal Vaishnava etiquette. Even if we see somebody who is senior doing something wrong, we are not the ones who point this out directly to that person. So that was his first offense. Second was that he became malicious towards Garuda. And third one is that he cursed Garuda. He's not supposed to do that. So Vishnu Chakravarti explained, these are three actually sins, actually faults that Saubari Muni made, and therefore he fell basically. He fell in terms that he developed lusty desires and he had to marry later on. We know story from Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the place where then we know story from 10th canto, Kalia took the refuge and later on Krishna appeared and so on. And later on he was given back a chance to return to this Ramanaka island which has been described here. So then, all these different islands surrounding, therefore, Jambudvip are placed in the Lavanoda ocean, and therefore, again, it's difficult to understand how do we relate them exactly if we try to place them. It's impossible, basically, to place them on our planet itself, really. Or our planet, in some way, might be some kind of a reflection. In terms of geographical understanding, there is one very precise description given in Vayupurana and Mahabharata, pointing out that our planet is reflected upon the moon. And how is that? Is that when we see that Shashi Bindu, that dot, that spot of the Shashi, of the rabbit on the moon, that this is the reflection of our planet, how it looks like. And actually it's very interesting, because as I said, both Vayupurana and Mahabharata, they give this description. They said our planet is a circular kind of circular shaped, that means either it's global, definitely it's global in that sense, and that reflection resembling the shape of the rabbit. So if we would be able to draw something on the board here and we draw the rabbit, and of course other descriptions given, there are two pipal leaves and varieties of vegetation surrounding it, then if you turn that rabbit upside down, then you would come to see that actually our planet really resembles the rabbit in many ways, like the Africa. It points out to the ears, and the other parts point out to these pipal leaves and the rest, the part of the rabbit. So anyway, whole the geographical understanding is not so easy to comprehend. As I said, either we are talking from higher dimensional point of view, or we really have to do thorough research and understand which description is given for which particular time to have some real grasp of what is given here. The island of Jambudvip. So here there is the whole, we won't go through all the story because time is already up. But it's interesting that Shukadev Goswami is pointing out that these islands, as I said, they came up by the diggings of the King Sagara, by the sons of the King Sagara, who wanted to bring Ganga on this planet. And he had two wives. So Bhrigu Muni gave him the blessing that he will have one son from one wife and 60,000 sons from another wife. So it was agreed that the elder senior queen would have one son. She wanted one son who will become inheritor of the whole dynasty in which Lord Ramachandra appears, Surya dynasty. And then the rest of them, 60,000, would be born from the second queen. So, but that one son who was born, his name was Anshuman was the grandson. Asamanju. Okay, Asamanju. He was very vicious. And he was drowning all these other sons in the Sarai River. And when the King Sagar saw this, he became very disturbed. What kind of monarchy will be in the future? So he exiled him completely from the kingdom. But his son, therefore his Sagar's grandson, Anshuman, was a very noble, very virtuous personality. So therefore, later on, Sagar performed different kinds of Ashwamedha yagyas, and Indra again, like in case of Prithu Maharaj, appeared in disguise, this time of a Rakshasa, stealing the horse. And the whole ceremony had been therefore become inauspicious and incomplete, so many priests have been pointing this out to Sagar, that he has to find the horse. So that's the whole story, how he sent all his 60,000 other sons in search for that horse. Anyway, just to make it a little shorter, they were searching all over the planet. They couldn't find it. So Sagar told them, you dig up the earth, dig up the planet, search underneath. And they, again, they couldn't find it. And again, they had to again send them dig deeper. And finally, they even went to the lower planetary systems. And in Rasatala, they found a horse next to the Kapila Dev Muni. But since Lord Kapila, or the Lord himself, the earth is his consort, the Bhumi, so he wasn't very much pleased by that particular digging that took place. Like nowadays, people are digging for so many other things, oil and all other stuff. So definitely, Lord is not very much pleased by that. So he became pretty much disturbed and angry, and especially when those sons considered Lord Kapila to be the culprit of the whole affair, thinking that he stole the horse. So when they approached him with such hard of, in a hostly way and angry manner, therefore immediately Lord Kapila Dev just chanted hum and burned them all to ashes. So then Anshuman has been told that he actually should therefore perform meditation, and this is for the glory of the whole and benefit for everyone, that the Ganga will therefore descend and purify the whole universe practically, even reaching down to this particular lower planetary systems, to Rasatala. So in order to do that, then Anshuman is performing his son Dilip. They were unable to bring Ganga down, and then finally Bhagirath succeeded in bringing Ganga down and purifying all these places and performing final rites for the 60,000 sons, those other sons of Sagara. So this is how we understand, this is what description we have here, therefore a little bit historical and geographical of what is this island of Jambudvip, where is it placed. And as I said, now again Srila Prabhupada, second point which he brought up here, which is given, it's a big discussion now, we heard it yesterday from His Grace Nimanite Prabhu, that importance of living in the Bharat Varsha, how it is important. And Prabhupada also, I will just read quickly because it's very short purport. He states that demigods basically aspire to live, take the birth in this Bharat Varsha, because it is very special, because it is very important for spiritual advancement. But he said one interesting thing is that they're unfit because they pray to take birth. That means that they're unfit to reside here. And what is their disqualification? It's because actually they have that mixed desire, karma mishra bhakti desire, to enjoy and prefer devotional service. So the real qualification is actually, of course, we'll find many other people with such kind of desires, and even somebody who is absolutely not connected that is appearing in this particular land. But definitely there has to be some kind of pious credit and a reason for them appearing in this particular place. So then Prabhupada, what he states, I'll just brief very quickly, we'll just stop within a few seconds. What he points out is that, therefore, if a person's already born in Bharat Varsha live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this island, they're certainly unfortunate. Certainly very unfortunate. This is like somebody who has enormous wealth, but is not utilizing it. Somebody who is a miser. That kind of person is definitely very unfortunate because he is not utilizing the wealth and importance and that wonderful opportunity that he might be having for whichever reason. He is not utilizing it, therefore he is considered miser and very unfortunate. But somebody who is utilizing something, he is called Brahmana, he is called broad-minded, and who is benefiting from that particular opportunity that he is having. Once a very interesting analogy has been given by Kadamba Kandra Maharaj. He said that nowadays Indians, of course it's not just Indians, it's actually practically as we speak about Bharat Varsha as the whole globe, as the whole world, everybody. But in particular, because still this culture is present here in India mostly, he said that they've become bad businessmen. How? Because they have such a great capital, but they're not utilizing it properly. Because what a good businessman will do? He'll utilize the capital to make more money, to make a greater profit. He won't just keep on spending, coming back, you know, to the zero, or keeping it just for sake of keeping, saying that much money I have. Money will not stay. Money is chanchal. Definitely it will go away. It's impossible. So that's that miserly mentality. Or just keep on spending for sense gratification. So he said Indians have become a very bad businessmen nowadays because they're just not investing. They're not utilizing this wonderful opportunity. If they would be utilizing this wonderful opportunity of being born in this Bharat Varsha and having such a wonderful facilities, of further spiritual advancement, that that would be so glorious. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So in summary, we have these particular islands, basically, that has been given here, and Shukadev Goswami is giving this description according to what he heard from previous sages. So we can have some idea, we can have some picture, but as I said, it's not easy to have a complete picture of it. Still, a lot of thorough research has to be done. But at least it gives us some idea, you know, where we are placed according at least to time and place, and ultimately this whole description is serving to point out how insignificant we are in terms of whole vast universal structure that we live in. So thank you very much. Are there any, maybe one question or comments? Okay. Super.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, how these people are digging the earth, Mother Earth, and you said Kapila Rishi, he knows.
Sanjaya.
So is that the reason why earthquake is...
Earthquake has been given in the same stories. They said that they came to the four elephants of the four directions which were residing in the lower planetary systems holding up the earth. And when they move, when they scratch their back, that's what causes earthquakes, according to Mahabharata. So it's not by digging. Because that's minor compared to the whole.
Prabhu, you were talking about Kaliya was killed, our Kaliya story. So the Kaliya was killed in Vrindavan, present day Vrindavan, or the...
That Kaliya was what?
Kaliya was killed where in the present
wasn't
day?
Killed. Was punished, wasn't killed.
Was punished in the present day Vrindavan,
yeah,
or somewhere else?
Present day Vrindavan. Okay, one quick last question.
Hare Krishna Bhai. This, as the demigods are praying that, and you also, it's mentioned in the purports also by Prabhupada that it seems that demigods are unfit to take birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. And as I have heard that only the Bharatvarsha is the place where one can perform Vedic practices, right?
Not exactly very. Karma practices are performed all over the higher universe. Actually, even in lower planetary systems, they practice the Vedic rituals. Even demons, they practice Vedic rituals. That's how they become powerful. Then Vishnu has to come either as Buddha or Jaina and bewilder them to reject the Vedic practices, to lose their power. Okay. Vedic rituals are performed everywhere.
Okay. So
but especially that bhakti feature, that's something that is unique to Bharatvarsha.
So that means that the demigods... Because for becoming demigod, one has to perform some sort of pious activities.
Yeah.
So that is not only happening on this planet Earth, Bharatvarsha,
yeah,
but it could be happening anywhere in the universe and they could be getting the position of demigod.
Interesting question. But exactly, it's understood that they performed it originally in the Bharatvarsha.
But,
and they can perform it other places in order to elevate themselves further. But to ultimately gain that fruit of bhakti, they have to appear on this particular planet. Unless they already reach, from this particular planet, they reach Jnana Loka, Tapa Loka, and Satya Loka. From there, they can advance further.
If they would have already taken birth in Bharatvarsha?
Yes, definitely.
And, no?
Because it's a cycle. It's always, if somebody doesn't complete, then again, you know, another creation of the universe... You know, they appear in different places because in maybe previous creation they've been on our planet. So that's why it's so special. That's why it's so significant.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you very much. La Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.